Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The TalkSport Daily Podcast is proud to be in partnership with Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Whether your business needs cars, vans, or larger commercial vehicles, you can rent from the best lineup in the UK with Enterprise. And with flexible long-term rental, you can get vehicles for as long as you need them, from minutes to months. Whatever the mission, Enterprise's mobility experts can build a bespoke solution to suit your business needs. Visit enterprise.co.uk/business to find out more.
This is TalkSport Daily.
Hello,
I'm Andy Goldstein of course, Andy Goldstein Sports Bar. Weeknights on TalkSport, Monday to Thursday from 10, but that's irrelevant. You're listening to TalkSport Daily, where we get you up to date with all things sport and relive our favourite TalkSport moments from the day. On this show, you'll hear Danny Murphy's damning verdict on VAR, Simon Jordan's thoughts on Paul Pogba, as well as the best callers to the Sports Bar's Midnight Train to Madness, which is, of course, my favourite show. But let's start with Drive Time and Adrian Durham and Darren Goff talking about Manchester United's demolition, hammering, tonking of Chelsea at the weekend. Of course, I am completely and utterly unbiased.
I didn't think Chelsea were that good. A lot of people said that they were. It was never a 4-0, and it probably wasn't a 4-0.
No,
but
it wasn't 4-0.
I thought Man United were comfortably the better side. And when you look at Manchester United playing the ball out from the back and compare it to how Chelsea tried to play out the ball out of the back, it was like Premier League champions against non-league minnows are about to go into the Ryman Premier. It was an absolute shocker from Chelsea. They simply couldn't do it. And we've seen in the past, haven't we, how Chelsea players do not care who is the manager. If they want to down tools, they're going to down tools. And I think that there's a potential for that happening with Frank Lampard. Now, let me make that clear, exactly what I mean here. With 20 minutes left of the game, Chelsea have gone three down, having conceded two in 3 minutes, and Frank Lampard brought Kante on. Now, Sarri would have been slaughtered for that. The levels of hypocrisy from Chelsea fans are going to reach new unprecedented levels this season, because they ain't going to slaughter Frank. And now, nobody wants Frank to succeed more than me. Yeah, I think he's brilliant. I think he's a great guy, an incredible career. I love the fact that he's married talent and hard work to achieve all he's achieved in the game. Believe me, I, as an Englishman, want Frank Lampard to be successful. But that doesn't mean I'm not going to scrutinise and ask questions. And I think that that level of hypocrisy, I don't think, from Chelsea fans, I don't think he's going to do Frank Lampard any good. He needs to be scrutinised. He needs to...
What, after one game?
Every decision. It's a 4-0 defeat.
I'm sorry, mate. I kind of disagree, and I'll tell you why. Because I think when you look at the Chelsea, you've talked about Kante coming on. He's one of their best players, right? It needs to get him some game time. He's coming back from that an injury. He gets him onto pitch instead of Jorginho. He is more attacking, Kante. He can get forward. He played in that more attacking role last year. That's why Sarri played him on that right side, because he wanted him to get forward more. His other options on the bench were Tomori, Alonso and Kennedy. So if you had me a choice, I'd have brought Kante on as well. In that reflect, he did bring on Pulisic and Giroud, two forward players, to try and change it, and that's when it all went to pieces anyway. When you look at Chelsea, and they need these players back as soon as possible, unfortunately, Rudiger, Kante, Loftus-Cheek, Hudson-Odoi and Willian all could come into the starting 11, and when they're fit, they will. Unfortunately, he hasn't got them at the minute. We know transfers coming in. That would take it out of anyone. If Manchester United would have gone into this season with Rashford out, Pogba out, Lingard out, and Lindelof out, it'd have been exactly the same. You've got to surely give Chelsea time here. Yes, it's not ideal, 4-0. He could have easily shut shop and called it 2-0. But he was still going for the game. The manager's changed. Sam Allardyce, who's been a good manager in my book. I'm not going to slaughter his managerials because I think he's been brilliant over the years, right? But to say, yeah, you've never chased the game, what, you just accept losing 2-0? Frank doesn't do that. This type of manager now will keep going for it. A Gerrard, a Lampard, a Solskjaer are not bothered if they lose 4-0.
I'm Paul Hawksby and this is TalkSport Daily.
Now to the press box where Simon Jordan, the former Palace chairman, and journalist Martin Samuel discuss the enigma that is Paul Pogba.
Ultimately, the narrative around Paul Pogba is that he is, you know, disruptive, that he is an influence in the dressing room that's not for the positive, that he does say inopportune things at inopportune moments. You know, there's no doubt that there is a quality player there, but I still maintain the view that Alex Ferguson was right first time around. I feel that he's, you know, if it's not him, it's his agent that has something to say, which is inappropriate. I don't think he does enough on the pitch to justify the perception that people have of him. I still go back to the World Cup of last year and people will bring out the fact he's a World Cup winner, but I look at Griezmann and I look at Mbappe and I look at Nkanti and those players from the French team and say, yeah, I can understand what your contribution was. What I got to see from Pogba was a lot of noise in the dressing room, and I think what we've seen from Pogba as a player is a lot of noise at Man United and not enough substance, and certainly not enough substance on a regular basis for a £90 million footballer.
Well, he's doing it again today. I mean, the follow-up story from yesterday was not feeling quite like a Manchester United player, and again it was that talking, you know, throwing this speculation about his future, and which it's really unhelpful. You've just beaten Chelsea 4-0, and then it suddenly becomes about, is Paul Pogba going to stay? Are they going to have this pressure because we've closed the transfer window early? Are they going to have this pressure from abroad? The other thing is, as you say about picking up on the point about divisiveness, that yesterday he made two tremendous goals, and the fourth goal, the physicality of the run, and then the very deft touch at the end just to roll it to Daniel James, absolutely fantastic. And yet, at the same time, there's a moment when he goes driving into Chelsea's penalty area, and the move breaks down. And he's ambling back, and now Chelsea are flying at Manchester United, and he's still ambling back. And you're thinking, mate, run, show some urgency, you've got to get back. And then it got to the position where it was beginning to look dangerous, and then he's broken into be hard pushed to call it a sprint, right, to be fair. Usain Bolt would have liked to run against it. And then it breaks down, and so the ball comes back to him, and they get away with it.
Martin,
but it
what sort of sense
good.
Of character do you get from this player? Is he one of those players that you can go into the trenches with? Do you get that impression that he's a fair weather player, that when he's a flat track bully, when it's going well, Pogba's there? When it gets tough, he's not got that sort of character.
Yeah, I mean, I would certainly say that of Lukaku. I don't think it's quite like Lukaku. I always thought Lukaku was right. was had that like flat track. Yeah, was flat track bully. If you look at who he scores against and stuff. I don't think Pogba's quite like that, because I've seen games against big teams where, but he's certainly, you can close him down. Yeah. I mean, there's no doubt about that. You can close him down.
On to the Alan Brazil Sports Breakfast Show, where he and the former Aston Villa striker Dean Saunders were trying to get their heads around the VAR controversies over the weekend. Yeah, this could take some time.
It's ridiculous, but at least we all know it's ridiculous. So we all know what the rules are now. If it hits your arm accidentally, or it's a penalty, or they disallow the goal. Mm.
It's an interesting one. Alan Shearer this morning in The Sun: fans should be able to hear what VAR referees are saying. The confusion helps nobody. I think we'd all like to hear what they're saying, like you do in rugby, Dino.
Yeah. And I think the big issue for me is, you know, when you look at Sterling's goal, when his armpit is offside, when did the ball actually leave the player's foot? It's the frames that they go in along. So what the rule is, they go back, they look at the frame where the ball has left his foot clearly, and then they go back to the next frame just before it. But when players are moving that quick, passing each other, one's coming, stepping out, and Sterling's running in, if they don't get the ball leaving the player's foot spot on, it can be a hairline decision.
And I'm a great, it doesn't matter what I think, but when it's fractional, when you're splitting hairs, forget it. You can't give it either way. You know, if it's a goal, it's a goal.
But that's the problem, Al. We think like that, but you have to say that they get in the decisions right, apart from apart from I can't understand the one at Watford when Glenn Murray's put his arm up and it's hit his arm and they don't give a penalty. Well, I thought if it hit your arm...
Yeah, they have to.
Outside your silhouette, which is another rule they've made up. I think we're going to be sitting like this every Monday talking about handballs and penalty decisions.
Speaking to Jim White and Natalie Sawyer, Danny Murphy gave his thoughts on VAR as well. And of course, Danny didn't hold back.
I still think we're too far into technology. I don't know where the balance would be in it. It's just my view that it's something doesn't feel right at the moment when I'm watching football. That I agree with the Wolves manager, 2 minutes celebrating, then you take away that joy. Then the other team, the other fans are celebrating a non-goal. It's like 2 minutes waiting around. The Sterling goal that he did, that did get allowed when he was like muted celebration because he was thinking, is this one going to get taken away? The fans was a muted, the picture of the Man City fans, they were clapping. I mean, it was like a ballet like saying thanks for the end of it. It's like... they're isolated, I know. And the majority of VAR and what it did at the weekend was good. They did get some decision that would have maybe not been corrected, made right.
But you've always called for the right decision to be made. And this is the process that's been adopted.
The problem is, perfection is never going to happen. Because some of those decisions, and this is... I went to the conference and it was really helpful. Because what I did like was that what they were trying to say is that they're going to really try hard to set the bar high in terms of overturning anything, unless it's really a bad decision.
Yeah.
And I like that mindset because that's the mindset that made the World Cup run quite smoothly in Russia. So although I'd still, if you give me a choice now, I'd knock it on the head, VAR, still.
And why? You do away with it?
I would, yeah. Because the percentages of the officials getting offsides and decisions right, penalties, etc., last few years is huge. So they gave me the numbers. The difference that VAR would have made was about 7% maybe, or 9% max, something like that. Forgive me if that's out of percent or two. So the referees and the officials were doing a damn good job. Let's be honest. They do a good job. We've got probably the best ones in Europe, as far as I'm concerned. Mm. So all this contention around some of this, you know, do we really want to see goals being disallowed for an offside that's an armpit ahead of another armpit by 4 millimetres? Yeah, okay, 4 millimetres offside by the letter of the law. But it's supposed to be an entertainment business, isn't it? You know, John Watson made a great point on this station the other day, and he was talking about daylight. You know, daylight, you know, make the offside line, not crossover of an arm or a leg or a toe. It's like, if there's daylight between you and defender, you're offside. That's more simplistic and more...
But you're saying this morning you would call time on VAR.
I sat on this show, Jim, and ranted about VAR, didn't I? I am saying by going to the conference, it's helped me. And I understand where they're trying to come from with it.
Yeah.
And I do think it will do some good. And if it does help eradicate, especially the simulation and the cheats and all that, great. But I did also talk, if you remember, about there's other ways of doing that. With having better retrospective action.
But VAR's not the answer for you.
VAR for me is, and hopefully gets better, even this weekend, is still creating too many areas of chat like this. I'd rather be talking about tactics. I'd rather be talking about players. I'd rather be talking... It's just an opinion. It's personal preference. Maybe I'm a bit old school. Maybe I think back to watching football with my old man, playing it when I didn't have all this... nonsense around 2 minute waits for always, was it in handball, was it not? It's like it's been given, get on.
I was at the World Cup cricket at Lord's, and not out or out, and you just look at the screen and they do it as quickly as you can, and the crowd go with it. Not a hint of disapproval or dissent.
I'm not saying, I've never said that the excitement and tension around waiting for that screen to say yes or no is bad, but it's not the same as the euphoric moment when a goal goes in and the raw emotion is natural, it's instinctive.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices
down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This episode of the TalkSport Daily is brought to you by Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Planning to hire or share a car or van? Enterprise is there every step of the way. Whenever and wherever you need a vehicle and whatever it's for, Enterprise can help. With over 450 locations across the UK, they're just around the corner. Whether you need a weekend rental, a holiday hire, a replacement car, or you're planning a business trip, home or away, Enterprise are there to help. To find out more and book, visit enterprise.co.uk.
And to John Motson, the legend that is, who was on with Max Rushton, never heard of him, and Andy Jacobs, talking about the Premier League action over the weekend and the new laws which have been brought in to encourage attacking play. So I'm told, over and over again.
The goalkeeper being able to kick the ball to a colleague from the goal kick without it going outside the 18-yard area, that means that teams that want to play from the back can start it off there. That seemed to work okay to me. The defensive wall, now the attacking team can't go within a metre, but I've already, the people have worked this one out, they're forming their own wall.
Yeah.
Just over a metre away.
But yeah. The big problem for this is that referees will need to use twice as much vanishing spray season as they did last season, because you have to have a spray for the wall and a spray for the attacker's wall.
Why do you have to have a spray for the attacker's wall? The attackers can be anywhere they like, can they, with the ball? Why do they don't have to be 10 yards away?
No, but they have to be a metre from the other wall. So you have to draw the...
I see. Yeah.
That metre.
Yeah, it's double... It's great for the spray, foam spray manufacturer.
It's
a bonus.
This was the summer to come in.
And the other one, the substitute or player being substituted has to leave the field at the nearest point.
Yeah.
And he can't waste a minute or two walking across to the touchline bench. Mm. Lamella was booked. When he was substituted.
So do you think now they'll be getting to the absolute... It's like, what's the furthest place from water? Is it Birmingham in England? That's what you've got to do, is you've got to get to the absolute middle of the centre circle for your substitution to take the longest amount of time possible
people
to
might,
come off.
Might do that. We haven't mentioned Burnley, and I said on Friday they had a wonderful second half of the season, as good as anyone practically, apart from the top two, and a decent start, Motti.
Yeah. Well, thanks to Ashley Barnes, really, who I think there was a headline in one of the papers at the weekend, is he the most underrated striker in the Premier League? Well, I don't know, but he might be a candidate. Takes his goals well, doesn't
he? Really
and
does.
Burnley, of course, who had had an up and down 2 years, haven't they, really? They had the season when they got into Europe, and then they had the season like last year where they had to wait a long time for their first win. I agree with Andy. I think the thing about Burnley is you know what you're getting, because Sean Dyche, he doesn't make a lot of changes, does he? He didn't.
And Pope back in goal.
Pope back in goal.
Plus, which
Rodriguez
is
still to come into it later. Yeah.
I mean, it was very windy. It was very funny to see a Premier League player just have a ball just blow over his head. Yeah. Vestergaard, wasn't it? But you're right, Ashley Barnes. I wonder if now we've said he's underrated so many times, he's now rated the right amount. But he does take, the first touch for that goal was excellent, and the finish was very good as well. I'm impressed with him, yeah.
Yeah, and good finish from Mope for Brighton.
I thought so.
Yeah, he looks to be... he could do it at Championship level. It looks like, he's going to bring something to the Premier League too.
Well, I mean, I think Brighton did have to get another striker up there, because Glenn Murray's 37 or whatever, and, Mope's record at Brentford was impressive. So I think they'll... As I said, I was pleasantly surprised with Brighton. I thought to myself, they may have something here, because what Graham Potter will have done, he will have incorporated the good work that Chris Hughton did, especially at the back, instilling his own thoughts about how they go forward. Keep your eye on them. It might be fun.
And finally, from Andy Goldstein's Sports Bar.
I think, the best show on TalkSport. You can hear it Monday to Thursday from 10 p.m. Anyway, this is me, Andy Goldstein, and what's his name, Jason Thingamajig, with some of the best bits of the Midnight Train to Madness. I imagine, though, they're just going to play the whole of the Midnight Train to Madness because they're only the best bits.
Yeah, it's Jamie.
Hi, Jamie.
Jamie from South London.
Hi, Jamie.
Hi. So I've got a quick story. Last weekend, I was on a tube. And is that it? I saw... I was on a tube going somewhere, but I saw a beautiful woman in the Oyster queue line, yeah? So she's looking at me, I'm looking at her. I'm thinking to myself, bloody hell, I'm going to have a word with her. So she's in the queue before me, so she's walked off. I've not even got my Oyster card because it was taking too long, so I've just ran up behind her. And I don't know if you know, but sometimes you can kind of squeeze through the barriers. Both of you can squeeze through the barriers at the same time.
Right.
So I've caught up with her at the barriers. I've squeezed through the barriers. We've gone down onto the tube. I'm talking to her, saying, what's up, baby? Can I get your number? Blah, blah, blah. She says she's down here for a little festival, and she's from Bournemouth. And she basically gave me her number. So she's got onto the tube, and I've walked off all happy as Larry, thinking to myself, oh, I'm going to give her a call later. I've walked up the tube, and instead of putting a number in my phone, I've tried to ring it. So it's in my call log.
Right.
But because I'm in the tube, you can't make no calls on the tube, can you? So the calls, the numbers just disappeared. So I'm halfway up the tube, like halfway up the escalator, thinking to myself, no way, I've got to get that number back. So I've turned around, and I've ran back down the escalator, the wrong way, knocking people out of the way.
Wow.
And basically got back to the tube just before the door shut. I've jumped on the tube and everyone looking at me on the tube like I've just broken out of jail or something. So I've looked down one side of the tube. The tube is packed by this time. I've looked down one side of the tube, can't see her. Looked down the other side of the tube, still can't see her. So I'm thinking, she's told me she's going to Frinsby Park. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to wait until Frinsby Park. But then I'm thinking, nah, because if I wait until Frinsby Park and get out on the tube with her, I'm going to look like some sort of stalker, isn't I?
Yes.
So I said to her, I said to myself, you know what, let me let the train empty out after a couple of stations, and then hopefully I'll be able to spot her. Anyway, a couple of stops later, the train's emptied out. I've looked down the tube line and I've seen her. So I've got off one of the...
Hold on one second. I don't want to get rid of him, all right? We've still got one more dump left. So just to inform you, because you would have missed about 7 seconds, he swore, but only because he was getting very excited about the story, yes. Right? So are you still there?
Okay, sorry about that.
let me just say, right, that if you swear again, that we haven't got another dump.
Yeah, and the story will never come out.
Okay. So just to reiterate,
No worries. You
waited for the tube, the train you were on to clear out a bit, and then you saw her, then what happened?
I saw her in the other carriage. So I've come out of my carriage that I'm on, and I've got onto her carriage. She looked at me like, how the hell did you find me? Yeah, where did you come from? The last time I saw you, you was going up the escalator. Now you've just spotted me 3 stops later. How did you find me? So I said to her, well, I've tried to explain to her the whole story, but the tube is very packed out and I didn't want to really embarrass her. I just basically wanted to get her number back. Yeah. So I said, listen, I've got a lot to tell you. I'll explain it to you later. Can I have your number again? So she looked at me all strange. She said, okay. So I've given her the phone. She's put the number in. I've got off the tube. It just so happens we both ended up at Frinsby Park. I'm supposed to be going the opposite way. Anyway, so I've walked off happy. She's walked off. I made sure I've stored the number in my phone and everything. Got home, a couple of hours later. You know, you give it a little time. You don't chase them down. But you give them a little time. So I've messaged her. And I've said to her, you know, how are you? How was your day? Blah, blah, blah.
Not her.
She's read my message and not replied. So I'm thinking, okay, she's probably at the festival. She's probably having a nice time.
Right.
Let me message her tomorrow. So I've messaged her tomorrow. She still hasn't replied. Can you just explain to me, why would you give me your number? Why would you see me go through that craziness and still not reply to none of my messages?
I'm Jason Cunningham. This is TalkSportSingles.com.
Well, there you go. How much fun was that? You've been listening to TalkSport Daily. Thanks so much for listening. Make sure you subscribe so you never miss your daily dose of TalkSport. That just sounds wrong, doesn't it? And don't forget, on the Alan Brazil Breakfast Show this morning, Big Al is joined in the studio by the former Manchester United manager, David Moyes. Nope, I don't remember that rain. And from 7 p.m, it's Salford City v Leeds United. That will be live on TalkSport. Hugh Woozencroft
is hosting. And, of course, me and him, Jason Thingamajig, will be taking your calls from 10 p.m. on the Sports Bar, as we do Monday to Thursday from 10 p.m. on the Sports Bar on TalkSport, Monday to Thursday from 10 p.m. Which, in my opinion, is... OK, it's time to go, I know. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to subscribe. See you tomorrow.
That was a podcast from TalkSport.
The TalkSport Daily Podcast is proud to be in partnership with Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Whatever your mission, home or away, don't delay. Enterprise has the vehicle for the job. Rent from the best lineup in the UK. With over 450 branches, Enterprise has what your business needs. From compact three-door cars to spacious SUVs and people carriers to vans, they offer a large range of reliable vehicles perfect for the job. To find out more and book, visit enterprise.co.uk.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.